We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. I should have double-checked if you needed a break, either of you.
I could use just a couple minutes to talk to legal on B2.
Okay. We are...
It's entertaining.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. We are reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have three items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I'm going to, at the request of Commissioner Christman, we will move number two on discussion to the first item. We'll follow with the pre-filed bill drafts, I think, and then we can follow with commission reorganization at that point in time. So, Commissioner Christman, it's all yours.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order in Public Service Commission 988 FCC 20-100 compliance case number I-20-244.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Did we have a second?
Oh, I'm sorry. Second. I was reading the order.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you going to explain this?
Yes.
Okay.
So we kind of talked about this some at our last meeting. FCC last summer came out with this order and is establishing 988 as a suicide prevention number. In some of these rural states, we're still afforded the luxury of being able to just do 7-digit dialing instead of 10-digit dialing because we only have one area code. That can potentially change here if you have numbers that start with 988. And to be clear, so that it's not confusing, because these, you know, what's a block and stuff like that. So your prefix, like here, is 701. We all understand that. And then those next three numbers, that's your NXX code. And then when NAMPFA, the North American Numbering
Plan Administrator,
when they issue these, they can break that down. And so you have that NXX code and plus the next four digits. So there's 10,000 numbers there. And they can break that down and will sometimes distribute them in blocks of 1,000 as well. But if you have some numbers in 988, it will require 10-digit. We happen to have three companies with 988 numbers. One of them had, I think, 20, and one of them had in the upper teens. The third one was never even granted a block in the 988 NXX code, but a customer of one of the others had ported service to the third company, and so they literally have one number. So we immediately, when we're talking about only a few dozen phone numbers, I believe strongly that as much as I would hate to have to change one of my phone numbers, I can imagine that being an inconvenience. I find it much more of an inconvenience for 750,000 people to have to go to 10-digit dialing because a few dozen have these numbers with the 988 and XX code. And so we went about trying to change these. And one of the companies one of the ones with a dozen and a half or something like that customers, immediately was just a wonderful corporate citizen and changed all their people over to different phone numbers and gave their block back. The other two companies basically have either ignored us or are not very cooperative. Just, I don't know, seem to find ways and why they can't. And I'm not sure what the legalities of all that are, because this is happening so quickly, this evolution. But fact of the matter is, one company did find a way to do it. And in just days. So I just have a hard time with that, that it's impossible. Now, at the last meeting, the other company with around 20, who has not been real cooperative, in fact, usually never answers their phone for days at a time, they said they would do this if they got a new NXX code that they liked. And we worked with North American Numbering Pool and got that approved to get those about 20 people transition. However, now that opportunity has been nixed by the FCC because of some other issues that they have with the FCC that they're not taking care of. Mm. And so the FCC has not approved anything with them. So we're back to two companies, one with about 20, one with one, who don't do anything on this. Now, in the meantime, although the FCC's order requires us to start this transition by April of 2021, NANPA has come up with tomorrow as a day when we need to have this started. So what we are doing is, with this motion, requesting a waiver from both NANPA and FCC that acknowledges that there is this issue. We have some numbers out there, but that we have, A, made progress. We've gotten almost half of them transitioned already with the one company. And we believe that we can get this done if we just have a little time to work on it with these companies, and can move forward. And so this motion is making that waiver request and getting us a little more time to work with the two companies to get these people switched over and save everyone from having to dial three extra digits every single time you call somebody.
Is this a problem or a challenge nationwide or just specific to our region?
It's pretty specific, Mr. Chairman, in that most more populous states already have more than one prefix. And so their 10-digit dialing is a given. So it's just low-population states with one prefix. Then among those, and I've not taken the time to look up how many there are like that. I'm presuming, you know, 6 or 8. And among those, and I just imagine if we were in the position that by chance one of our independent telephone co-ops or another company had done business for a long time with the 988 NXX code and had, you know, hundreds or thousands of customers, I could see where you can't switch all those people's numbers. So out of the few states that are single area code states, some of them probably aren't even working on this because they just recognize they have to do it. So I don't know how many states, but I'm sure it would be single digits and probably the very low single digits that have our unique situation with no or almost no 988 numbers in the only area code in the state.
We don't have any ability to force the companies to hand them over. Or the FCC, do they?
I think we do with a little bit of time, but I don't know that it is something real specific and clear, but I think we do.
So are any companies resisting or are they just not responding?
It's a combination.
I'll let the staff answer that and so describe it.
We've been trying to get it done on a voluntary basis up to this point. The companies are... they're resistant. They don't want to upset their customers, I think, is the primary reason they give us. So they're resistant to us, and then they're slow to respond. And they don't really have any incentive. There's no benefit for them to do this other than pleasing the North Dakota Commission.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
Tens of thousands of North Dakotans, hundreds of thousands of
right.
North Dakotans.
Right.
That's disappointing when you look at the intent behind this. It's another line of defense against suicide, or to help hopefully prevent a suicide from occurring. And if it can be more specific by dialing 988 instead of 911, which goes into, is it a highway emergency? Is it a fire emergency? Is it that delay can be very detrimental in,
yep.
in getting someone the proper help. So that's disappointing that there are providers who aren't more cooperative in that sense.
Mr. Chairman, just for a point of clarification, it will be...
The way the FCC order is really specifies the move, the 988 will be occurring one way or another. It's just a matter of whether the 10-digit dialing occurs on top of that. So for the FCC order, it states where the 988 is already being used, it automatically forces that state and that area code to the 10-digit dialing. Normally, you aren't able to reclaim numbers unless they are not in use. And so the way it seems to be proposed is that everyone eventually is going to 10-digit dialing. Just not a lot of states are in our unique circumstance where we wouldn't have to go to 10-digit dialing till around, I think we were specified, 2028 is where we estimate it'll be if we were able to reclaim just those few numbers. And in most states where the 988 is already being used, and so, for example, a couple area codes, for example, in Florida, had to go to 10-digit dialing where the rest did not. Most of them did not just have a small handful of 988 numbers. Most of them probably have quite a few.
And as far as what they can do or can't do, the bottom line is almost half of the total number of customers that fall into this 988 NXX were with one company, and they had them changed over in days. So if they want to, they can.
There was a total of 33 numbers. 20 of them are with one company. One of them is with the one other company. And then the first company we contacted had 12. And within a week of me contacting them, they had all of the numbers reassigned and done.
Okay. So to be careful, it's not a reflection of our telecom providers by any stretch. It's just a couple of isolated incidences that
it's two companies.
Okay.
One, I have no idea who this is. One is actually a major carrier.
Okay. So there are just a few remaining. The others have been good to work with.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I would tweak what I said to disappointed that there's still a handful of companies. Well, I'm supportive of this.
Sounds good. How long is the extension?
At this point, we're asking for the waiver that would allow us time to get these customers transitioned away. I think there's a acknowledgement that, you know, if for some reason we're unable and they're unable to do that ultimately this waiver would be withdrawn by FCC and that we would move forward with 10-digit dialing so the suicide prevention thing can work. But this gives us some time to work on these less than two dozen customers.
But is there a time amount of time we get with this?
Victor, there is a date for the drop-dead date for 10-digit dialing.
Yes.
And it's in 2022?
2022. April 24th of 2022 is the drop-dead date for mandatory 10-digit dialing.
And so part of the issue that we're running into is in order to reach that deadline, there's a number of implementation dates and scheduled up to that point, and it takes a period of time due to a lot of different reasons. For example, some numbers have to be manually changed in a lot of different areas as opposed to just switching it with the provider. It actually requires someone to go out there and make mechanical changes to devices. And so what we're looking at doing is, since we have confidence, speaking with Victor, that we'll be able to essentially work with the companies to get those numbers back, that we are trying to receive that waiver to ensure that we do not have to start putting in the implementation until we have had a good taking a good crack at getting back those numbers.
I see.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then let's, because this might be of interest to some in the room. Jack, can we go into the pre-file bill drafts?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I did provide, we have a number of bill drafts out there. In fact, after a brief discussion this afternoon, we may have another. But I thought it'd be worthwhile just to send in some of the ones that we haven't had any additional discussion on today. But I recognize that normally what we do is we have a motion and the commission approves this being submitted to the Legislative Council. I was thinking, due to the fact that there are going to be hypothetically some additional changes to bills, that it may be worthwhile to delegate the authority to do that submission to the Executive Secretary or the General Counsel. That way we wouldn't have to call another meeting later on in the week. So we did provide this this motion for the purposes of actually approving those three bill drafts, if you wanted to do that today. However, I also provided, I'm bringing in an additional motion, if it pleases the commission, just to delegate that authority so that I would be able to submit these without coming back to the commission for an additional meeting.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it, though, and then so you would submit what's ultimately decided in our next meeting.
I would submit ultimately what's decided in the next meeting, and I will also circulate a final draft of all the bill drafts, and if any commissioner has a thought or concern, I'll call a meeting then.
Okay.
Subsequent to that.
Okay.
So if you'd like, I do have a motion to bring forward that we can do. Instead of this one?
Okay.
In a way of background, you have the handout. Can you just quickly go through the three?
Sure.
For anyone who is listening so they know what we're...
Yeah.
So, Jack, would we still be doing this one today, the three, or would we include that with all of them?
Thank you. We would not be doing the one for the three today. I will just be submitting these separately today if you delegate the authority.
You would submit all of them together.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Or whenever.
Maybe in one group, two groups, maybe all together.
Moving these three either as a package or into a two-part approach, whatever, however it works out.
However administratively it's easiest.
Yeah. So let's still quickly go through the three that we're talking about.
Sure, absolutely. The ones today that I brought were the ones were related to mining renewal. If you remember, there was the request for an formal conference. There was a date change in there as well as the time that which the company has to file for reapplication of the permit. For the meter testing, we made some changes just to provide some clarification that it'll be done by us, a third party, or the public utility subject to our oversight. And the damage prevention enforcement, the one minor change to the 811 program would be that we would that an excavator who damages a facility with dangerous hydrocarbons, according to our PHMSA audit as required, they would need to call 911.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add on that mine permit timing. This past year, when we had an informal request on a mine renewal plan, we kind of found out that the timing of it with the notices, the requirements for the notices and things like that, it almost put us into a catch-22 situation. And so that's how this started with getting these dates, this time period's extended just a little bit.
So, Jack, you have something prepared for us to grant the authority to staff or to you, to legal counsel? Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? Okay. I move the commission delegate to General Counsel and Executive Secretary the pre-filing of bill drafts to Legislative Council for the 67th Legislative Assembly of North Dakota.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then the final discussion matter that is listed would be commission reorganization. And Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yep, I just wanted to throw this out there to see if you guys want a meeting. Do you want to discuss portfolios and potentially reorganize? Do we want to keep them the same? We have to vote on this and the chairman prior to January. So at the next meeting is usually when we would do that. So if you want to set a meeting to discuss this, or if we, I'm fine either way. I'm not looking to change anything in the portfolios that I'm on top of. I continue to just, you know, the portfolio tool is just a tool for distributing kind of the management or organization of the things, but it in no way creates any additional authority or any less responsibility or accountability for all of us on everything. So I think it's important for us to always keep that in mind, that it's not really our portfolio. We just kind of manage it and take the lead in trying to keep things going and might be on the front lines. But so I'm open to either. If you guys want to have a talk about it, we should set a meeting.
Commissioner Crisman, go
ahead. I will just say this, not to dig too deep into it, but just in background, although I no longer have, there's no longer a grain licensing portfolio, telecommunications is sure picking up, and as is the decommissioning stuff with wind farms, and now as time goes and some could get replaced, some could get refurbished, some might be removed. Who knows how it's going to turn out? I kind of feel like I have my hands full, but in the past, at least some of the times when I've been here, the incoming chairman sometimes unloads something a little bit to free up a little time for chairman work. Mm-hmm. I would have to even think through what your portfolios are. If there's something small that you wanted to, you know, lessen your workload a little bit to free up some time, I won't speak for Commissioner Crosses, but for myself, we can work with you on that. But generally, I am satisfied and inspired by my responsibilities and satisfied.
I think I'm okay the way it is. Because a bulk of mine is siting, and, you know, it's not going to be as busy as it has been. It just probably isn't. Then we've got rail and consumer affairs, and probably the biggest thing that isn't even a portfolio, and maybe we should make them portfolios, is OMS and SPP.
And there, too, my responsibilities
are growing.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm okay without a discussion and just moving forward into reorganization next time. But if in the meantime you think of something, we can
do something. Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just, I don't think we need to have a meeting then. We'll just generate the appropriate paperwork.
Mr. Chairman, before we go into our time-consuming scheduling all the time, I don't know if the press might have any questions on these actions that we've taken here in discussion.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, you guys.
My mother worked for Ma Bell for 39 years. I understand.
This has to be one of the more. And just to affirm, I will be the outbound chair. Please tell me that's true.
Oh, yes. One more meeting, Brian. There's a first for everything, I guess.
Moving right along. No,
going to be an interesting scenario without having to, you know, during the campaign, you have to constantly babysit social media.
Right.
Constantly. And come up with this, and I think it's more harmful than helpful in some ways. But
sorry about that.
All right.
Yeah, you name it. It's going to be no campaign. It's going to be kind of quiet. All right. So we are moving into my favorite part of the meeting, sensing no other discussion items. Scheduling. So the first on the list would be the informal hearing with One Oak Bakken Pipeline. And I think we have enough dates to also look at the 2021 legislative session. But Victor, what are you looking at?
So the company was hoping for the afternoon of the 11th of December. It seemed to be available, I guess, a week or so ago when I was looking at that.
Mm-hmm. That works for me. Are you thinking 1 o'clock?
I think 1:30 works best for setting up everything with
1:30.
That. So,
when is the 11th?
Friday.
Not this Friday, but the next.
Don't we have something? Isn't that the day when we have?
We have the morning meeting with Flight Mitigation Technology, the stakeholder discussion, and that begins at 10 o'clock. But we'll be wrapped up with that in time. 1:30 on Friday the 11th works for me. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Does for me, too.
Commissioner Christman?
I guess I'm still waiting for this to open up, but if we have that in the morning, it'll work in the afternoon, too. That's when the company wanted it,
yes.
Did you say?
Okay. Why don't we just plan on 1:30 then on the 11th, and okay. Commissioner Christman, if you spot anything, you've got a few more minutes to...
Oh, okay, we'll go with that for now.
Okay. So that was easy enough. And then the next one, Steve, legislative process for the 2021 legislative session.
Staff intends to get together early next week and make sure that we have the nuts and bolts process in place. We know who's handling different
portions of the tracking process for us. But I think we need a meeting with the commissioners, with legal, just to walk through what our process is, refresh everybody's mind on what the rules are for dealing with the legislature. Just a very solid meeting on our legislative process before we head into session. And I was thinking if we could find a time in the latter part of next week or possibly early the next week.
Can we look at the next week? Because that next week has really gotten jammed.
Yeah, because we have to block out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at this point in time, so we just leave. Well, and then we've got the...
And I'm going to be calling in remotely from Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would rather... There's already a ton of stuff on here that I'm going to have to do that.
Well, we'll have to wait until Commissioner Christman... Where did Randy go?
I'm not sure. Looks to me like the 17th.
Forgot my Microsoft verifier.
Your what?
I forgot my Microsoft Teams verifier.
Maybe the 14th.
I think that would work pretty well for us.
I would prefer to not do it on the 14th if we could look at the 15th through the 18th?
Or the 15th. The 15th I have a meeting at 9. But, so any time after, I'd say 10:30.
On the 15th?
Yep.
How long did you need?
I would. What do you think, Jack? An hour?
I think an hour should be enough.
So yeah. If we started,
mostly on process and procedure.
If we started at 10:30, that gives a little bit of flex on the backside.
Yeah.
Not that we have to be wrapped up at noon for anything, but people generally have noon.
Too early?
No, that works.
Okay. Works for me too.
So 10:30 on Tuesday, December 15th.
And then we should also be scheduling our weekly meetings to discuss the legislative. Wasn't that usually on Fridays, once the legislature starts?
That was usually on Fridays.
Yep.
Fridays at 11?
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll schedule those all the way through session.
I think we should get those on the books.
Yep. We'll do that today.
Did we start at 11 or 10?
10:30.
I just don't recall.
I mean, it takes way more than an hour at the beginning.
Oh, you mean the legislative one? Yeah.
Did you see 11 someplace, Jill? Or just remember that?
That's just what I remember from last year.
I think that sounds correct, because I remember bleeding into lunch pretty often on the front end.
Was there a reason we picked 11 and not 10? I see.
And sometimes all of the paperwork isn't really ready at that point because you're waiting for stuff to come out from legislative council.
All right.
So 11 o'clock it is?
Yeah.
On Fridays?
On Fridays.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we should do working lunches.
I agree.
Just like do a standard... Throw out the email to Jamie Johns and you can order it and pay yourself.
Is that going to create some challenges with the spacing?
I don't think so.
Move around a little bit.
I mean, if we're sitting like this and eating, what difference
does
it make?
You discharge more droplets when you're eating. I suppose next you're going
to
want to sing.
And you don't have to eat.
Well, a point worth considering, Dr. Chrisman.
Spurs more droplets.
Well, I suppose if we eat with our masks on,
eat a lot less that way.
Anything else for the good of the order?
My diet plan. Even.
All right, I hesitate to say thank you, everyone, but thank you to some. We're adjourned.